Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening to this. I hope you're on a walk because it's summer and in the mornings it's, not as hot, but it's like kind of nice hot in the mornings. And then in the evenings, in the afternoon, I hope you're not on a walk because it is scorching heat and I don't know how you're alive. And if it's in the evening, I hope you're on a walk because it is again peaceful. It's been a minute since I hit the record button. Life has been hectic, but peaceful, like nice. And I want to get so better at recording in advance, like much more in advance, or just like having all my shit together when it comes to the podcast. Weirdly, since the days, I guess, have been getting longer, I also have like, I've been working more on things that I need to do. And I have this like summer mentality where it's summer, so I can stay up late and I can wake up early because I have all the time in the world. So yes, I'm like not sleeping a lot at night if I'm going to bed early and waking up early, but I can also take a nap because it's summer. Like there's summer rules. And to be honest, like summer rules can apply for me at any time of the year because I'm a stay-at-home mom, but they just feel better in the summer. Like I don't know why a nap in the fall or winter feels like depressing. But a nap in the summer feels like productive almost, or like I'm supposed to be napping in the summer. Duh, that's what you do. What else are you gonna do? I mean, everything you can do in the evening or in the early morning. You just take a nap during the day because it's summer. And it's basically what I call summer rules. And that's my playbook for summer. If it's 10 p.m. and we're having spaghetti for dinner and no one is in bed asleep yet, it's okay because it's summer rules. We can even have like a glass or two of wine after. But if it's like springtime, I guess, and it's 10 p.m., I'm stressing because we should have been in bed asleep because we have to wake up early to enjoy spring or whatever. I don't know why. Like those are summer rules, but those are summer rules. Oh, I almost dropped my coffee on myself. Some other examples of seasonal rules: a beer in the middle of spring, in the middle of the day, it doesn't count because it's spring rules, and a sweet treat in the middle of the day or multiple times a day in the fall doesn't count because it's part of an accessory of your outfit is to have a croissant, or I guess that's not technically sweet. Let's say like a Danish, like, or a cinnamon roll, or a very sugary iced coffee or latte, hot. Those are fall rules. I don't know what about winter rules are. Trying to think of one on the spot that I can think of. Maybe, I don't know. Winter's going to require more thought from me than a few sips of my coffee on an early summer morning. So we'll get to those rules when I guess the season is upon us and I have more time to think about it. Since we last spoke, I have read three books, I believe. Look, the last book put me in a little bit of a reading slump, and I can't come out of it. I'm trying so hard, and I don't know. I feel like a physical book is maybe gonna bring me out of it, like reading a solely physical book. You know what I mean? Like a book I can carry around, and I don't know. Like I'm even thinking maybe like a classic. Like a small digestible classic is going to be the thing to pull me out of my slump because those are my roots. And so I feel like just going back to my roots, it's like when you're feeling overwhelmed and you just want to be as cozy as you can. That's kind of how it feels. So I read My Friends by Frederick Backman, and I rated that one 5/6 stars. It's my favorite book of the year so far. I've cried multiple times throughout it. I don't know if it's, I you know it is. I don't know what I was gonna say. I don't know if it's my favorite one of his, but it definitely is. He's an author that have read multiple of his books, but I wasn't like out, like I wasn't looking for like, oh, when is his new book releasing? I just saw it and I was like, that's, it was under the new releases. It was a hardcover. I had no idea. And it had like, there's three, guys on the cover swimming, and so I was like, that looks like a summer book. Sorry, I'm losing my brain, I can't think. So it looked like a summer book. It's summer, it's a new release. I like this author, let me read it. Didn't know I was gonna immediately cry and keep crying, and I mean, like, I knew it was going to be heartfelt because that's his tone. But I didn't know that it was going to be so emotional. And I just didn't, I don't know, I didn't expect it to hit me as hard as it did. But it was very beautiful. So it follows the life of a famous artist before, well, mostly before fame, and how he grew up in a like very blue-collared centered town, very small town, where he was him and his friends were like relentlessly bullied and widely misunderstood by the adults in the town, who turned the other cheek on very, very bad situations at home and in the town, and then very few adults who actually, you know, go out of their way to help create a better life for these kids who are struggling. And it's beautiful. It hurts, and it's told by I don't want to give anything away, but it's told by the artist's best friend on a bus ride back to their hometown with Luisa, who is an orphan. She is a foster care child, and she escaped from her foster care day before turning 17, and then she turns 17 and is on this train with, she turns 18 because she's no longer like a missing child. She's an adult, so they don't give a fuck anymore, you know? And so she's 18 on this bus with the artist's best friend, as she also turns to art for her self-expression. And so she's on this bus finding out, as we find out, the life of the artist and his friends. And it's chilling. Like, it's so emotional. And it's a really great book. I don't want to give anything away. And it's also very early, and my coffee is very full still. So my brain power level. I also read Artificial Condition, which is the second installment of the Murderbot series by Martha Wells. And it is so endearing. I love this little, well, it's not little, but I love this robot. So we're back where we left off on the first Murderbot Diaries. And he's kind of like, for the first time, technically unemployed. Like, he's out on his own, you know, because the Murderbots, well, he calls himself a Murderbot, but they're, what are they called? Sec units? They're basically bodyguards and part of the, they're not the group, crew. Like, you know, you would hire, like, if you are, I was going to say a space adventure, but that makes it sound like we're in a Spider-Man, like, kids movie or something. You know, but if you're like, if you are a scientist and you have a crew and you're going to go explore a planet, you would hire them for like your muscle, basically. And so that's what he was. And then he hacked his, what is it called? I can't think of all the technical fucking terms, but he hacked his like own system. And so he's become, in a way, like a little bit more human emotionally. He's like emotionally intelligent and just very he's very spunky. Like, he's got a lot of like he's funny. I don't know what to say. So the second one, he's kind of on his own, but as relentlessly annoyed he is of humans, he also can't like seem to get away from them because he's like drawn to them, you know. And so he embarks on this, let's say, work mission to recover some projects or a project that was like wrongfully stolen by a group of young scientists. I believe they're scientists. And so he just like sees different perspectives because he has the emotional intelligence of a human, but also the intelligence of like this manufactured robot. We're also introduced to another robot, and the government module is what I was trying to think of earlier. That is what he hacked, his government module. Shit, my mic was off for that. Okay, so he hacked his government module, right? And so there's like this other robot that like they're talking through this different like system that like it's like a direct line to each other. And so he is like, it's just like a different personality of robot. It's very endearing. And so it's another diary entry, you know, it's another story of something that, like, it's like what happened after, like, he was like his last mission. And so it's funny, it's cute, and it's interesting, and it's like sci-fi, it's like science fiction, it's fun. So it was a good read. It was very short. It was a very, very short read. So I do recommend that series. Okay, so if you like April Ludgate, if you liked the 11th Doctor, or even the 10th Doctor, we're talking about Doctor Who here. And if you, what was the series I'm thinking of? Oh, and if you binged New Girl, then you'd probably like this series because that's like the whole, like, you know what I mean? It's like Doctor Who meets the dry pan of April Ludgate meets the sitcom aspect of like, fuck, what did I just say? New Girl. It's like the aspect of like New Girl, based on like the comedy style. So it's a very good book. Next, I read shit. Out on a Limb by Hannah Bowman Young. I think I already mentioned this one. And then Beach Read by Emily Henry. I think I have one Emily Henry book left, and I think I have to go and read it because I think it'll get me out of my slump. And I'm going to be so sad when there's not another Emily Henry to read, at least yet. So hurry it up, girl. You gotta hurry it up because I am depressed. Just kidding. I'm actually feeling really good. I am also 90% into, fuck, not Lights Out, Caught Up by Nevessa Allen, author of Lights Out, which was the one that's like, it was like one of the top listens in dark romance this year because of our MMC Josh and his personality and humor. And yeah, he just like carried that story. I mentioned how in Lights Out, I didn't enjoy the, I didn't like, it was very smutty. And like, I do like a dark romance, but I feel like every time that I look for a dark romance, what I'm expecting is to feel the same way that I did before Haunting and Hunting Adeline. And then I just kind of like it falls short or whatever. Like the story, the plot just like loses me. And that's kind of how I felt. Like I did like the Butcher and Blackbird series, the, what is it? Ruminous Love trilogy. And we have like a, I believe a spin-off coming out soon in the fall. Sorry, I have, my nose is like stuck. Do you know what I mean? Okay. That I'm also looking forward at called Tourist Season by Bryn Weaver. So I'm looking forward to that. But however, I just feel like maybe dark romance isn't the genre for me. Where I did like I liked I can't I don't know. I liked Haunting and Hunting Adeline. Shit, what other books did I read that were dark romance? I don't really know, but I don't know. I feel like my expectations maybe are too high for it. And it's not hitting. So Lights Out, like I said, the Josh was funny. It was a good like story. Like it was interesting, not interesting. Like it wasn't boring, but also like that was the book with a 40-minute smut chapter that I just like did not listen to. And I just like skipped through it to realize that like as I was skipping the entire thing was like the smut chapter. So I was like, I just can't do it. It's not like my cup of tea. And then I felt like our main character, our female main character, Allie, just like personality also just like fell flat for me. And that was Lights Out, right? And I had high hopes for it because it was supposed to be like everyone was saying how funny it was, and like it was funny, but I wasn't like dying on the floor laughing, you know? And so Caught Up, I actually did go out. I was like very, I like the books. Like I'm not hating on them. You know, they're just like, I just don't think that they're like my cup of tea, but I do enjoy them. You know what I mean? So I went to Barnes and Noble to get their like edition with the sprayed edges because I thought it is pretty. It's very pretty of Lights or Caught Up, and it's so floppy. Like it's like the perfect flop of a paperback. But I didn't want to like, I wanted it for my shelf. I didn't want to annotate it. I didn't want to like even hurt the cover or the spine of it. So immediately put it on my shelf. And the reason that I'm still 90% done with it is because I was out of Spotify listening hours and Audible credits. And I was like, well, I already bought the book. I'm not going to go and buy more Audible credits. And I just bought some top ups. They're like 12 bucks, right? So I just bought some top ups, which are just extra listening hours for Spotify. But Spotify, like, premium members get 15 hours of listening time for books. And I had used that up already. And so I was like, I thought I was also like purchasing 15 more hours, but top ups are only like 10 more hours. Tell me why this book's so fucking long. This book is so long. And it looks so much, it's so much, I don't understand. Like, maybe it's like thinner than some Emily Henry's I have. But that's the thing. Maybe it's because I have listened to an Emily Henry either bought from Audible or I've read it physically, or I've listened to it on Spotify with my regular listening hours. So maybe they were like 15, 14 hours long. I don't know. So this book is like long. And anyway, I ran out of listening time. I'm literally like a chapter, two chapters like away from finishing the book. And I get like in my ear, it goes like, you've reached your limiting, whatever. Never heard that before. And so I was like, what the fuck? And I did. I have like a few days till it renews. And I don't know. So I was like, should I just like read the last, like whatever chapter I'm on? Sorry. Something that I didn't even think about until earlier was like, what if the last chapter is like one of the last chapters of Lights Out and it's like just pure smut? And which is fine, but like I'm gonna skip it anyway. So like I would probably just skip it anyways when I'm reading. So I don't know. The whole like, oh, so in Caught Up, we're now following Junior, who is Allie's cousin, Allie the FMC from Lights Out. This is her cousin's story and his relationship with Lauren. Her name's Lauren. And he also calls her like they were childhood friends. And so like they were childhood friends, and then in like it was like middle school, high school times, they began like a romantic relationship. And then the catch is that Junior, also known as like Nico, is a mob boss's son. And so like they're like Italian mafia and he's the son. And so like her family is also like they're the opposing mafia. Sorry, my fucking mic keeps dying and it's like annoying the shit out of me. I need to get a new mic. I need to get a whole new setup. Anyway, that happens, right? And so like Junior does some stuff to like protect her, but doesn't tell her because obviously he can't. And so like she hates him in turn. And then, oh, she's also like a cam girl. And I loved that aspect. Like I loved it. I like her character a lot. And I like both these characters a lot, which is great. And I also feel like we get a lot of like background work from our FMC and MMC of the previous book, Lights Out. So Josh and Allie make multiple appearances. And I feel like I like their characters more in this book. So who knows, you know? But I really do. I'm enjoying it. And I've not skipped any smut. Like I've been like enjoying this book. It's just the mob aspect. Almost, I wish it was almost not there because it just kind of like, it doesn't really, I don't know. It's like, I feel like a 14-year-old is describing the mob to me, you know? And so I would maybe have liked a little bit more of the mob aspect other than like what I would assume like a young teenager would be telling me about a mob. Speaking of mob, I am constantly I'm constantly breaking up fights between a 1-year-old mob and a 4-year-old mob. Are you okay? Yeah? What do you do to you? And like most mobs, this mob is usually caused by the newer mob overstepping the territory of the older mob. So I've become a little bit of a mob boss myself. A mob mommy. I'm a mafia mommy. I'm a mommy. That's what I've been reading. Like I said, I have like fucking 2 chapters left and I don't know what to do. I may check. Maybe my hours have updated by now, but I'm also like, I'm just not, I don't know. The more time passes, the more I kind of forgot that I just didn't finish it. But I probably will. I most likely will because I'm interested in the story, which is where my concern of the last chapter or two chapter being smut is coming from. Now that we're 20 minutes into the episode, because I've talked about what I've been reading, I thought maybe I should do a weekly report. And then I was like, no, because I don't ever really have anything that I'm like, oh, I have to recommend this product. I don't know. Or a thing that I'm doing that I'm like, everyone has to do this. So, but it's summer and I love summer. I think my favorite season is early summer, late spring. However, I do love, like I said, the summer night aspect, the summer morning aspect, late nights and early mornings. There are just certain rules that apply during the summer that don't in the fall or spring. Like a good fall day ends at like 4:30. 4:30 and I'm not going back outside. I'm inside. We're good. A good spring day ends at like 6:30. 6:30, we're having a late dinner and we're going to bed and we're reading a book. It's like it's cozy, you know? Summer, we're 10:30, 11 and we're tucking in pretty early. So let me just share a few rules of summer off the top of my head. First of all, everybody is a summer body. It's too fucking hot to care about what you're wearing or care about what other people are wearing. Although, this being said, I am a romper hater. Who the fuck thought, oh, let's put on an oversized t-shirt and you know what we should do? We should just cinch it right between the thighs. It just has never worked for me. It's always been uncomfortable, but I am willing to be proven wrong, just not on my body, probably on someone else's body. If you are a romper connoisseur, more power to you. Also, tell me why bathroom stalls were invented by Peeping Tom, because I don't want to be fully naked when I'm going to the bathroom in public. Next summer rule, popsicles are a breakfast food item. It does not matter what time of the day it is. If there's a popsicle to be had, it is okay. The same rules apply for spring. You're just going to replace popsicle with like cherry pie. Rule number three, everyone is an artist. Grab $20 and go get a sketch pad and some drawing markers or pens, sorry, drawing pens, and go ham. There are no rules to art. In my opinion, rules of art only apply when you are trying to directly copy something that you are seeing or someone else's art, which is only capping your creativity. We also don't get better at what we don't practice. Rule number four, wear your natural hair. It is going to save you the most amount of time and it is also going to give you the most amount of joy. Maybe not, but I believe so. If you spent hours perfecting a gorgeous blowout with the, I actually like do. I let my hair air dry a lot, but I also really do enjoy using a blow dryer because it just like almost, does my hair without having to do my hair. Like it really like gets that frizz taken away without having to use like extra product or anything. But that doesn't, it takes like 10 minutes, you know? But if I'm like styling and prepping my hair to go outside to have it decimated by the heat, if you do that, if you are like adding products to your hair, if you're blowing your hair out and then you're getting ready, like I listen, okay, hold on. Let's go back. Summer rules. Dress up, go out to dinner, hair natural, hair fucking wet, you know? But if you're skipping that, if you're saying like those are your, I'm not gonna follow that summer rule and I'm gonna do my hair full blowout and curled and styled, like it's volumed, whatever, you deserve to order the biggest cocktail you can, or the most expensive, or the most bougie cocktail with a flower. Or whatever the hell you want inside of it, or in a coconut shell, or in a like very fancy cup. Pay the extra dollar to have fire and smoke on it, or whatever, because you fucking deserved it. You put yourself through so much pressure to look hot for 20 minutes max. And I'm not in any way trying to say like that's not something that you should do. I'm just saying it's a lot easier to go natural. And it's like widely accepted because everyone, like, it's like you are expected to look like you just stepped out of a fucking pool in the summer. So your pool's a shower. I mean, your shower is a pool. So, like, just wear your hair natural. But if you don't want to, then buy yourself the biggest fucking drink you can and the fucking appetizer that you normally wouldn't have gotten or whatever, because I think you deserve that. My last summer rule is that is 100% acceptable to bring a glass of wine on a night walk, because a night walk in the summer isn't about exercise. It's not about digesting your food after dinner. It's not even about having dinner first. It's just about the scenery and the romanticity of a summer night. So romanticity. You are allowed to bring your beverage, bubbly, alcoholic, or fun, just whatever. But I say that's a kind of an obvious one. Like, you can drink like you can bring your soda or whatever for a walk, but in the summertime specifically, you're allowed to bring your glass of wine on a night walk. So in conclusion, time does not exist in the same way in the summer. There are five very important rules to optimize your happiness in the summer are as followed. Everybody, number one, everybody is a summer body. Wear what you want, unless it's a romper. Number two, popsicles have no time suitability. Rule number three, everyone is an artist. Rule number four, your natural hair is a rite of passage. And rule number five, wine is a walking beverage. Okay, that is today's episode. I hope you have a great start to your summer. I'll see you back next week. Bye.